Come, Holy Spirit, give life to these words. Please be seated. Eat flesh and drink blood. This is not an inviting image, is it? Why would Jesus even go there? There may be more here than we might suspect. There are many layers of meaning in this simple phrase. What if we try to unpack this to see what might be lying underneath it? Going from what is on the surface, which is totally disgusting, to get to that which is deeply nourishing. If we have difficulties with this phrase, imagine the Jews hearing it for the first time some 2,000 years ago. How are we going to get from there to here? Needless to say, this is one of the more controversial stories in the Bible. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then he goes on to say, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life." While this is a disturbing image for us, the Jews had a really hard time with it. How could they eat his flesh? First of all, there was not enough to go around. Or was there? Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with five barley loaves and two fish. So I guess it might have been possible. But what about drinking his blood? According to Jewish law, that was forbidden. It was taboo. All the flesh that they ate of the animals had to be drained of all the blood. They were forbidden to drink or eat the blood. It was the blood that gave life to the animals. But in today's gospel, Jesus commanded us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. John was writing for a new community of followers of Jesus, the Christians. John did not explain things as much as some of the other gospel writers. His audience, the new Christians, knew what he was talking about. It was a small group, but they knew all the stories. And in John's gospel, Jesus tells us, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Eat the flesh and drink his blood. Yes, his flesh. And yes, his blood. And yes, his whole body. His life was given on the cross for the world, that the world might live. In the book of Numbers, the Israelites, while in the desert, were given bread from heaven, manna, which satisfied them for a while. But they soon got tired of it and demanded meat, flesh to eat. They were given meat. They were given quail. And it was more than they could eat. It wasn't like when Jesus fed the 5,000 and they gathered up 12 baskets. But quail, piled 3 feet high in all directions around the camp for as far as a day's walk. That would be from here to King's Dominion. The ancients sacrificed animals and used the blood to purify and sanctify the altar in the temple. At Passover, they also used the blood of the lamb that they were going to eat to mark the lintel and the posts of the doorways of the house so that the angel would know the Jews lived there and the lives of the firstborn would be spared. Jesus, the firstborn of God, was sacrificed for the world. Flesh, blood, all. The Lamb of God sacrificed for us. What if we take that flesh and blood and turn it into a meal? What if we turned it into a celebration? When the ancients ate flesh, they cooked it. Eating can be for nourishment, but often the ancient Jews, and even us, for that matter, are called to celebrate and to feast. At times we're called to prepare a feast, as we are able, for many occasions, from Thanksgiving to birthdays, Christmas and Easter, to celebrations of for the newlyweds after a wedding ceremony. We feast on the food that's been prepared for the occasion, and sometimes even there is wine. Wine has long time been used to celebrate and to seal an event. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Food and the act of eating is well known by every creature that God has ever created. We humans, that is, take it to more extremes in the animal kingdom. We just don't eat it. We prepare it. We go to great lengths to improve the sight, the smell, the texture, the taste. And the methods of preparation are endless. Even the act of eating is celebrated. Not only do we sit down to eat, but the act of eating, of ingesting nourishment, has found its way into our language in other ways. People have a ravenous appetite for knowledge. She devoured the book. Eating and drinking are not just celebratory, they are life-giving. Try going through life without it. We won't be here very long. What if we take that flesh and blood and turn it into a meal? What if we turn it into a celebration? During the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Powerful language, powerful images, holy language, holy images. This is the Eucharist, the thanksgiving that we celebrate together. Jesus, the bread of heaven, came to earth so that we, through him, might come to know God. But how do we really get to know someone? Not just know their name or where they might live, but to really know them. Do we have real conversations with them? Not small talk about the weather or what you're going to do this weekend, but the more difficult conversations. Do we see them in different places, in different venues? Do we see them actively engaged in their life's work? Are we with them, not just during their daily lives, but during the trying and troubling times? What about during the joyous times? Do we ever have a meal together, sharing a common table? This is how God wants to know us. This is why God sent Jesus to be with us, so that Jesus could have these conversations with us. And by those conversations, get to know us and to allow us to get to know him. And the meals that we share with each other, the Eucharist, helps us build relationships, not only with Jesus, God, and Spirit, but with each other. The Eucharist that we celebrate so often is the primary way we get to know and build a relationship with God, Son, Spirit, and each other. By eating the body and drinking the blood, of Jesus at God's holy table. Amen.